Around New Year's, we get a little obsessed with changing ourselves and forgetting the things we're already doing right, like taking our supplements every morning or scheduling me time into our day. Therapy helps you recognize those victories and keep up the good work in the new year without changing everything. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy so you can try New Year, Same You with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone, and with Blue Link Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked, temperature set, lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading Blue Link Plus. Just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and Blue Link Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
What a finish in Buffalo. For a while, things were coming up Buffalo. Looked as though they had Josh Allen, the offense, had the Chiefs defense exactly where they wanted them, with a monster long drive, 15 plays, but with a couple of misses inside the red zone, couple of opportunities to get into the end zone and couldn't do it. And so they have to settle for what is a longish field goal for Tyler Bass.
1:47 to go in the game on 4th-and-9 for the Buffalo. Placement down. Bass's kick is up, and the kick is no good. A little prophecy. Tyler Bass has struggled, and he just misses the kick.
Kansas City will next snap with a 34-yard.
And the Chiefs will take over at the point of the missed kick. Their own 34-yard line as Tyler Bass misses this wide to the right.
That was fun. I love Arrowhead, but it's always fun when you get to come together as a team and really just be like y'all versus everybody and get the win. So it's always great to be in great environments and find a way to get a win.
Well, it's a lot more fun when you do win, and what a celebration that missed field goal set off on the Chiefs sidelines. The call there with Mitch Holthus and company on Chiefs Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. And just back in Kansas City after traveling with the team, Josh Klingler, who was there on the sidelines. And I don't know, what's colder, KC or Western New York, Josh?
Well, I'm part of the and company with Mitch, yeah. it's currently iced over in Kansas City, so we're back to great weather. But it was warmer than Buffalo this week than it was last week at Arrowhead. So
wow,
you take it, and winds make it warmer, that's for sure.
So then in those final seconds where Tyler Bass misses that field goal, I know the Chiefs still had to get the first down to kneel it out, but tell me what it sounded like on the sidelines as that kick is missed.
Well, I think it took the one more run. I think the first down run by Pacheco that really kind of put him in business, and they really thought they could finish this game out. But I think this has been a tale of this Chiefs defense, like for a good portion of the year. The offense gets the headlines, and sometimes this year it's been a little bit of lack of offense that's gotten headlines. But Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator of the Chiefs, just doesn't get enough chatter around the league. I don't know if there's anybody better in making in-game adjustments. And you look up the scoreboard, and they do it again. 7 points in the second half. That last drive wasn't perfect. It looked like they had a couple of opportunities to get off the field. Nearly got a turnover in that drive as well, and kind of stuck with it. Forced as far back as possible for a field goal. And then it was tough conditions. Wind was blowing across the field. I know Tyler Bass after the game said it. He didn't adjust for the wind quite enough, and it wasn't the greatest kicking days. But that thing sailed to the right, and I think the Chiefs pretty much felt like they would be able to run out the clock and get themselves yet another AFC Championship game. It's been an unbelievable run, and this one was about as improbable as any, and another classic game with the Bills. And I don't know, I find myself, Amy, a little bit thinking of the other side of things too, because
right.
The Chiefs are the dragon that the Bills are trying to slay, and they can get them in the regular season, but they can't get them in the playoffs. And I don't know how that gets out of your psyche. That's got to be a real tough one to live with if you're a Buffalo player. And I'll tell you, certainly Buffalo fans, because, the Chiefs are in their head.
So this is the third time in 4 years the Chiefs have ended the Bills' run. And I was saying this earlier, it seemingly was coming up exactly the way the Buffalo needed it to, not just the home game against the Chiefs, but also the fact that the Bengals were out, right? Their other Chief competition over the past 4 years, they never even made the playoffs, and yet they squander opportunities there late, especially in the fourth quarter. And I said to my husband, we're watching, of course, this the end of the game, and you can hear the Chiefs players screaming. The mics are picking them up on the field, right? Because it's gone so deathly quiet at Highmark. So when Bass missed that kick, what happened in the stand?
Yeah, I felt like it too. There was like a stunned silence. I mean, there were snowballs being thrown at the Chiefs bench, you know, occasionally, which happens. It wasn't everybody or anything like that, but they were really, really into the game. It was an awesome atmosphere. I mean, it was the Chiefs, because they become almost a traveling road show, get a lot of fans into wherever they're at. And this one was harshly defended by the home team. This was like a true, true, true road game. And so the Bills fans were, you know, they were animated. They were on the Chiefs bench the entire game. You could almost hear a pin drop, like, this is going to happen again. And you just felt like the bottom dropped out again. I don't know how you're not having nightmares waking up a Bills fan and seeing that Chiefs logo. It's got to be torturous right about now.
Mitch Holtis, Danon Hughes, they've both been on the show before, and we're glad to welcome Josh Klingler back now that he's returned to Kansas City, ice scraper in hand, joining us after the Chiefs broadcast. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. A lot was made of the fact that this was the first playoff road game for Patrick Mahomes and this particular crew. What did they say about that during the week?
Well, I think they reveled in it, and I think Patrick Mahomes specifically does. I wouldn't call him like a football historian or anything, but he has a lot of appreciation for the game, and I think there's a youthful portion of him too that he talks a lot about, hey, when I was growing up, I remember watching this and I remember watching that, and I always thought that'd be cool to do. And I guess he's just freakishly talented enough to be able to go and do all those things, right? We could all have dreams and they don't get accomplished. Patrick could pretty much like just keep check marking things. And so he talked about, you know, watching games in Buffalo and looking how cool of an atmosphere it was. And his only trip into Buffalo before was the COVID year. And there were no fans there. Heck, we weren't there. The broadcasters weren't there. We were calling games from the home venue that season.
Right.
And so it wasn't the same, and he was looking forward to it. And then I think there's a part of him too that says, you tell this team they can't do it. And they love to hear that. And so I think that there was a lot of, I think, defense around Kansas City that it was seemingly, well, Buffalo gets this home game, and so they're due and they're getting the game at home. And I think that the Chiefs kind of took offense to that. You looked at a lot of the national prognosticators, and I think there were a lot of receipts capped. There's probably, you know, three of every four, you know, the four-person panel that we see on all the television shows, Amy, right? Like three of the four were picking the Bills. And
I
think, you know, that got back to the locker room too. And so I think they were really, they felt great about how they were playing. They felt great about how the practice week went. And I think we're looking forward to doing something they hadn't done collectively as a team, which was, you know, get a true road playoff game. They kind of jokingly counted the Tampa Bay Super Bowl, and that was a road game. But it wasn't a full house, you know, amidst COVID as well. But I think it was kind of one more check mark for Patrick Mahomes' resume if he needed one.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Since you've been on the sidelines for both, how do the atmospheres compare? Highmark Stadium playoff game, Arrowhead Stadium playoff game?
I think pretty similar. I mean, the pregame in both of those places is probably unlike too many other places where it gets rowdy and it gets nuts and there's, you know, large quantities of adult beverages being strewn about. But I similar feel, and like similar, I think, fan bases too, that, man, they bleed for their team. And so, I thought that was the coolest road environment I've been to. Like I said, there's usually a lot of infiltration by Chiefs fans these days, and this stadium didn't have it. So it was pretty much Bills Mafia the entire time. So, and they were very cordial. It's a unique stadium as well, because I go from pregame in the broadcast booth and you have to walk down through the stands to get to the field.
Wow.
And I got my Chiefs gear on, and everybody was actually really nice. They're like, hey, have a good game. And I was like, wow, they're being like really kind. I think it got a little meaner as the night went on. But no, I think that they love their football, and I think they were loving, you know, having this game at home. And unfortunately for Bills fans and great for Chiefs fans, they went and really kind of crushed some dreams tonight.
Did you happen to see any Bills fans pile driving onto tables in the pregame parking lot?
There were a couple videos. I didn't see anything firsthand. We got in before that happened, but you know, I did glance up and see, you know, Jason Kelce with his shirt off.
Oh, heavens.
That's close enough. I asked Travis about it after the game, and I said, you know, have you seen the videos yet? And he goes, nah, somebody sent me a picture. I think I know what happened. I said, well, picture your brother jumping out of the suite, hammering a beer, and then jumping back in the suite. And he kind of just laughed and shook his head, and he's like, well, we're athletes. And so I'm sure they'll get a good, you know, bit of commentary out of that in their podcast
yes.
this week. But it was quite a scene. And, you know, to go in and win a game like that, if you're from a Chiefs perspective, in a true hostile, angry road environment, feels pretty sweet. Job's not done, and I think this team knows that. Going to Baltimore won't be easy either. So, but they're pretty happy to live another day.
Let me ask you this about the offense this year, because these are some record low numbers for Patrick Mahomes, and a lot has been made of the fact that this year the defense has actually been the stronger unit, and how many times the defense has bailed out the offense when they desperately needed it. Why the struggles offensively?
Well, I think the beginning of the season, really for a good portion of the season, I think they tried to give as many opportunities as possible to the wide receiver group. And I think what's been good in the playoffs is that they just really narrowed the list. I compared a little bit to college basketball, where you have the non-conference where, you know, you're playing 10 or 12 guys. And then by the time you get to the conference season, you're whittling down to 7, maybe 8 players, and your rotation just gets smaller. Kind of what the Chiefs did. I think they were looking for wide receivers specifically to grab and fill roles. And for the most part, they didn't, other than Rashi Rice's emergence, which has been great, because, you know, you got the rookie to be almost a 1,000-yard receiver and to be your primary wide receiver target. A lot of the others may be disappointed. Well, in the postseason, they've leaned on the run game and Isaiah Pacheco. Patrick hasn't tried to force as many things to as many different people, and they've just narrowed the list. I think it was kind of like that again tonight. While Kelce and Rice are going to get theirs, everybody else right now is, well, the ball's going to come to you limited times and you better make plays. And, you know, MVS stepped up and did that tonight, but there's not going to be a lot of opportunities outside of Kelce and Rice. And I think they're playing to their identity, this year's team identity offensively. It wasn't what they thought it was going to be before the season, but I think they're playing more towards the reality of what it is now.
How much do they miss Eric Bieniemy?
It's hard to tell. I mean, I think, you know, from maybe not as much from a schematic standpoint, because you do have Andy Reid and you do have Matt Nagy, both very experienced offensive guys, and we know Andy Reid commands the offense, but a little bit of the in-your-face, hold you accountable seemingly has been a little bit missing. So I think that component, that dynamic that they had when that entire group was together, it's fair to say it was probably missing at some point in time. You know, you'd like to think that you have enough, I guess, bad cops, as it were. but seemingly he was the guy that wasn't afraid to get in people's faces and hold them accountable and correct mistakes. And, you know, I think that was felt at certain times this year offensively that, you know, that they were lacking some discipline and some, I guess, consistency for a lot of the season. And so, yeah, I think some of that you could point to it. Schematically, though, hard to tell. I mean, this is Andy Reid's offense, and Matt Nagy's been in it for a while as well, so you can't say that they really missed anything from that regard. But I think from the accountability perspective, yeah, probably need to find somebody who's a little more willing to do that. Andy Reid is a guy that is pretty soft-spoken. Players respect him. They want to work for him, those types of things. Matt Nagy is a really good players coach, but he's probably more so the, like, I'll put my arm around you and lift you up. And then I think you need that balance, right, of that person that's going to flip the script every once in a while. It's a hard dynamic, I think, to point. We need to go find a person that does that, but I guess I wouldn't be surprised if they don't try to find somebody that could be a little more you know, harsh when it needs to.
Interesting. Okay, so more, a little more accountability. Before I let you go, Josh, because it's been a long day, long travel for you, and it's probably cold, how do you think they match up with Baltimore?
Well, if there was something that was a little bit difficult tonight, it was stopping the run game. And so gave up, 185, 186 right. yards, I think, on the ground tonight. And so you expect more of the same with the quarterback, right? I think what the Chiefs did in this game was, I thought, you know, first half, Josh Allen did about whatever he wanted to. And then they were able to really kind of corral his maybe off-script stuff or his ability to improvise and those types of things. Well, you're going to run into another quarterback that's very good at that, very good at running the football and very good at improvising. And so I think it's, kind of stopping the run game first next week. And then offensively, I think the Chiefs are in a nice little pocket right now. It hasn't been the same as other years, but I think right now, as I mentioned before, they're playing better to their identity, which is get Isaiah Pacheco going, get the ball to Kelsey, get the ball to Rice, and then, try to convert a little bit better in the red zone. You know, I think that that's been a little bit of an issue, leaning on the kicker, who's been fantastic. And we saw in a game tonight, right, how good a kicker can be and how good a kicker or a lack of a kicker can be. Harrison Butker's been nailed. So
right.
I think it's playing to that identity and stopping the run.
So Josh Klingler and Mitch Holtis and Danan Hughes will be part of, well, they'll be the broadcast crew along with the technical group that will travel to Baltimore for the AFC Championship. And Josh has always got good stuff on, not just whenever we have him on the show, but on the pre and post game. And then as well, when you can hear on the sidelines, I suppose that's a prerequisite. Man, it seemed loud there, so I'm impressed that you can deliver reports. Sometimes not able to hear yourself, but you can find Josh on Twitter at Josh Klingler, and we're going to let him go because the poor guy's got a show in how many hours? Three? Two?
Let's see. I don't want to do the math, but yeah, we're off locally in Kansas City in under 3 hours.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
I'm going to go home, take a shower, let the dogs out, kiss the wife, and head back in, I think.
All right, well, be safe. Thank you so much for making sure you had a few minutes for us, Josh.
Always fun, Amy.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh, poor guy. Isn't it the same thing that happened with Sal Capaccio last week when we had him live getting off the team plane in Buffalo? No, they weren't. He wasn't off the team. That was week 18? When did we have Sal? It was week 18, right, from
right,
Miami?
Division, yeah.
That's right, just off the plane. And so he did the same thing, joined us in this middle hour right after the Bills plane had landed back in Western New York, and they had all kinds of Bills Mafia there to greet them. I didn't ask Josh whether or not there were fans at the airport, but he was still scraping ice off his car when he took producer Jay's call. So big deal for the Chiefs to be able to do this on the road, maybe answer some of those questions. Although, I don't know, if you are familiar with what this team has done so far in the playoffs, it's not that I expected them to beat the Bills. I really did think it would go down to the wire, and it did. But I think this team is impervious to pressure. I don't think a road playoff game is a whole lot of much to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the leadership on this team. They've been through so many battles together. Plus, they had a shirtless Jason Kelce up there exulting with his beer. Okay. Like, I've seen that enough. One listener on our Facebook page said she'd rather see 50 shots of Jason Kelce's hairy belly with his beer in the suite than another shot of Taylor Swift. And I guess I don't get that. What's the big deal? It's not like it's any different than any other athlete with his celebrity wife or girlfriend. We see wives and family members and girlfriends all the time. What's the big deal? Why do people hate seeing Taylor Swift so much? She's extremely popular for a reason. So maybe there's a few people who don't want to mix their football with their celebrities. But come on, this is pretty standard for the NFL. Anytime there's a celebrity on the sidelines, anytime there's a celebrity in a booth, every time Roger Goodell attends a game, we get shots of it. And she's a worldwide phenomenon, and it's harmless. She's just there to be a fan. Who cares? I guess I don't get the vitriol for some reason. I mean, there's obviously a lot of people that are excited to see her, too. And good for Travis. Finally has two touchdowns, and it's been a while since he had a breakout game. on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can vote for Monday MVP. Why is Lamar Jackson a candidate? We'll get to the Ravens, who get to host the AFC Championship game next Sunday. Baltimore with its time in the sun. That's straight ahead. After Hours. We just showed our butts. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Play of the drive, two tight ends, second down and goal from the three. Off the play fake, Jackson steps up in the pocket, throws to his left. He's got Aguilar. Touchdown, Ravens. A three-yard pass by Jackson. And Nelson Aguilar, who had five regular season touchdowns, picks up the postseason score. Sims back deep to receive at the 32. Stout punts it from left to right. It's a good one. A lot of hang time. Sims takes it to the 33. He's assessing. Gets to the far hash. And then along the hash on the far side, he bursts inside Ravens territory. Cuts to the left inside the 35. Now the 30. Sideline 15. High stepping 5. Into the end zone. A punt return for a touchdown for Steven Sims. Jordan Stout had a chance to get him. He missed him, but so did so many others. It's a 67-yard return. And the Texans are a point away from tying this game up.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Like every other game divisional weekend, this was a tight one at half. In fact, it was tied at 10. Ravens-Texans in the first game of divisional weekend. Man, going back now, not quite 48 hours ago, but 36 hours ago. The Baltimore Ravens had their 11-play, 6-minute march that results in the Nelson Aguilar touchdown. And then on their next drive, when they punt, the Ravens give up a 67-yard return for a touchdown. Steven Sims of the Houston Texans. Tom McCarthy with the calls there on Westwood One on Saturday. Yeah, something else that stood out, and this is a credit to the Ravens fans in their own stadium, M&T Bank. 8 penalties by the Texans in the first half, and several of them were pre-snap penalties. So that noise was getting to C.J. Stroud and his offensive line. So 50 yards of penalties in the first half for the Texans. And once they come out of the locker room, you can see the experience of Lamar Jackson, certainly the experience of the coaching staff, which includes a John Harbaugh who's already been to a Super Bowl and won going back to 2013. 3 straight touchdown drives for the Baltimore Ravens. And before you know it, this game is out of reach.
2nd and 2, Jackson out of the gun, runs the pocket to his right, throws toward the end zone, leaping grab, Isaiah Likely, over the top of Derek Stingley, touchdown Ravens, 15 yards from Lamar Jackson, it's 23-10 Baltimore.
Holding himself, runs to the left, he's to the 5, Lamar's in, touchdown Ravens, they're going to have a championship game in Baltimore because the Hayes in the barn.
3 straight touchdown drives for the Ravens as they almost surgically put away the Texans in the second half. Lamar has a pair of rushing touchdowns and also the pass to Isaiah Likely as a 15-yarder that was over the top for the score. 7-minute and 7-minute and 10-second drives in the fourth quarter for the Ravens. That's demoralizing and also wears out a defense with the way that they come at you and how physical and tough they are. And when the dust settled, the Ravens had rushed for 229 yards. You thought it was impressive what the Bills did, and it was 186 yards rushing, but 229 against that D'Amico Ryans defense. Lamar himself was at 100 yards rushing and had a couple of scores on the ground, 2 through the air. Ravens, no hint of their earlier red zone struggles this season. 4 for 5 in the red zone. They hold the ball for 15 minutes longer than do the Texans. And this is also impressive to C.J. Stroud, the rookie QB, and that young Texans offense. Only 10 first downs given up. Remember, it was tied at 10 at the half, but only 10 first downs surrendered. 34-10 is the final score. And at halftime, even though they were tied, apparently Lamar Jackson stood up and they got to hear him use some choice language.
The locker room was good. I think everybody's just kind of a little edgy. You know, we all a little edgy. I mean, I talked to him last night. Like, I don't even know how we feel. None of us know how we feel. We're excited for the opportunity, but we're edgy and we're mad. You know, we got a lot to prove. And I felt that was kind of the feeling in the locker room at the game. And everybody just kind of just took a deep breath and said, all right, you know, it's 0-0. Gave up a big punt return. It's our game to go win. We got to go take it.
Lamar Jackson in his fifth playoff game. The Ravens in the AFC Championship, and as the top seed, the best record in the NFL, they will be hosting the defending Super Bowl champions. A lot of opportunity there. He is one of our candidates for TD of the week. You've got Lamar, you've got Isaiah Pacheco from the AFC, and then Christian McCaffrey and Jared Goff from the NFC, and that poll is up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also we're offering almost like a therapy booth at the fair. You know, just come tell us your troubles. We are happy to hear from you on either Twitter or our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Phone number 855-212-4227. So what adjustments did they make to be able to pull away in the second half?
We talked a little bit about just pass rush lanes. We talked a little bit about what defenses we were going to be in. Then offensively, we talked a little bit about completions, a little bit about a profit game, you know. Let's get the thing going, not try to push the ball downfield quite as much. I think that also helped open up the run game a little bit. So Lamar did a great job. A lot of that was his thinking as well. I mean, he was all over what he thought we needed to do in the second half. Collaborative effort for sure. Todd deserves a lot of credit. I thought he called a great game, especially in the second half.
Just resilient, you know. They were dropping the ball quite a few times, and, you know, we just stayed in there, held our ground. Bend but don't break. You know, everybody locked in when we absolutely needed to, and we got the job finished.
This Baltimore Ravens defense is brute strength. They are brutes, actually. Patrick Queen talking about that defensive effort. And yes, they gave up. Well, the defense didn't. Special teams gave up the punt return TD. But otherwise, this defense really locked down C.J. Stroud. And so his rookie season comes to an end. We'll hear from Lamar coming up. But C.J. Stroud, if he's not the offensive rookie of the year, well, it's only because it turns out to be Puka Nacua. But C.J., part of the reason why the future is bright for the Texans.
It's been a heck of a year, and I think D'Amico hit on the nail. Our future is bright, man. I know I'm upset right now, but I'm really just blessed looking back on this year, this opportunity we had today to play in front of millions of people again. You know, it's I'm just really grateful to God just on all the opportunities that he's blessed me with. Most important job for a quarterback is to make everybody around him better. This team was a team full of fighters. I mean, pressure's a privilege, and it's hard. Like, it's the stand up here is... It may seem easy out there, but it's hard. You know, I work really hard. I appreciate you guys for the whole year.
Their effort, right, being relentless throughout this entire season. Proud of them for, you know, getting to this moment. We know this is, it's not a moral victory of just being here. It's not what we, you know, set out to do. But proud of our team. This team accomplished a lot this year. And just looking forward to the future.
I like that from D'Amico. Already looking forward to the future. They have so much to build on. Let's be fair. Very few people expected them to have this much success this early in the tenure of D'Amico and C.J. Stroud. And not just them, but there's other young guys on this team, too. They're really young. Love the emergence of Nico Collins. That's been a lot of fun to see, too. And the way that they kept their heads down and just took care of business this year. Not a lot of hype and pomp and circumstance, just real businesslike. And that reflects the calm of their head coach, D'Amico. Devin Singletary, I mean, nobody rushed well for Houston on Saturday, but Devin Singletary has been great for them too. You think about Dalton Schultz, who's kind of found a new home there. Some of the others that have played critical roles, and the defense too has been so good. To have 10 wins this season in their first year together and to win the AFC South, it kind of reminds you of the Jaguars this time last year, right? And the fact that they also won a playoff game after stealing the AFC South from the Titans. So can the Texans actually build on this? Because the Jaguars took a major step back. But when they left the door wide open, it was the Texans who grabbed the opportunity. So the AFC South has maybe got some competition now at the top. As for the Ravens, Lamar Jackson is right now the favorite. The voting's done, of course, but he's the favorite to win his second NFL MVP award. But what has he told us whenever he has the opportunity? I want to be a billionaire and I want to be a champion. I mean, that's what he says. He's talked about how it's the Super Bowl wins that drive him. And a lot of people have looked at his playoff record and have kind of said it's, you know, it's not impressive. He can't do it in the postseason.
I don't even got to hear it. I see it, you know. But it is what it is. I really don't care about what people say. You know, I'm trying to win day in, day out. Every time I'm on that field, I'm trying to play to the best of my ability. Those guys just had, you know, had our team number in the past, but it's a different team, like I've been saying, and we just got to stay locked in on what's ahead of us.
Lamar Jackson said he did most of the talking at halftime, and it was a lot of cursing. That's a direct quote from Lamar. I guess he wasn't using the word show him your butts or using the phrase show him your butts. Anyway, the Texans were a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next season. But the Ravens have been among the best teams in the NFL all season long. They've got the best record. They've earned the right to host this AFC championship. And, you know, it kind of dawns on me that we could end up with a repeat matchup. I'm not saying a repeat game. Of course, Lamar wasn't there. Brock Purdy wasn't there. But the game in 2013, which actually featured the other Harbaugh brother, right? It was Jim Harbaugh who was coaching the Niners when they played the Ravens in the Super Bowl in 2013. That was the Colin Kaepernick as the quarterback and Joe Flacco for the Ravens, right? So it was Colin and it was Joe. Joe's still in the league for half the season, but we could end up having the same matchup as our first few months here at CBS Sports Radio. We went on the air January 1st, 2013, and our very first Super Bowl that we talked about was Ravens and Niners in New Orleans in 13. Now, this year, it's in Vegas for the first time ever, but there's still the potential for the two top seeds to make it. And I guess full circle, that would be crazy, right? In 2024, so 11 years later, to have the same two franchises. All right, coming up, we'll do a little QB news just to hear from the quarterbacks who played this weekend. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. We've got one of them. We have one of them. We have one of them, two of them, in our Monday MVP poll, one from each conference. So check that out. It's on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Here's our latest sports update.
Been a billionaire and been a champion.
See?
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it. Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade. Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, L.A.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City. And off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Divisional weekend through the eyes of our eight quarterbacks. Man, all shapes and sizes, all different ranges of age and experience and what they've seen, where they've played, postseason debuts this season versus a ton of games under their belts. It was an eclectic mix, and yet they all earned their spots here. But we only move on with four. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs were playing their first road game, this one at Buffalo, since Pat took over as the starting quarterback, and they were prepared.
I think guys took it as a challenge. I'll say that we played in the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. We lost that one. I didn't like to bring that one up, but I mean, it's we've played basically road playoff games before. We just come in with the same mindset. If we're going to come together, put our best foot forward and see if we can come out with a win. And that takes the mentality throughout the week. It takes every single play executing. And we did a great job of that today, and we're able to score enough to win.
The job that our offensive line did, that's a good group, nine defensive linemen that can play. and they rotate those guys, so you're hitting fresh bodies every time that every series that you get them. I thought our offensive line did a nice job. Patrick and Kelsey, with the record that they broke there, with Gronk and Tom, I mean, that was a great job there. Kelsey had two touchdowns and some big catches.
16 playoff touchdowns together, which is the most ever for a receiver or for a quarterback and a tight end in the postseason. And Patrick with a 131.6 passer rating, which is damn good in those conditions. They also needed the run game, so it was all hands on deck. You've heard both these quarterbacks, Pat and Josh Allen, talk about their relationship. They sometimes golf in the offseason. They're pretty tight. And there was a moment that they shared following the game. What did Pat say to him?
I said, heck of a year, man. I've been on the other side of that. It's tough. You put in so much effort and work every single game to play in these playoff games, and he played his tail off and gave them a chance to win the game. We were just able to come out with the win in the end. But that's two great football teams, two great offenses, defenses, everything going at it, and we were able to come out on top this week.
Another painful loss for the Bills. Third time in 4 years, their run is ended by the Chiefs, and there were moments post-game when Josh didn't know what to say.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Losing them, losing anybody at home sucks. Losing sucks. I don't know what else to say.
Not a whole lot needs to be said. So it's the Chiefs that move on to battle the top-seeded Ravens in the AFC next Sunday. Lamar Jackson, 252 yards of total offense and 4 touchdowns. And boy, you can look at the relationship with his new offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, and know it's been productive.
For your OC to, you know, trust in you to be out there and point his team, point our team in a great situation, that's all I need, and we're going to go from there.
The first ever AFC championship game we've played in Baltimore since 1970. We're excited about that. And our fans are going to get a chance to cheer just as louder than they did in this game. And they were amazing. 6 false start penalties. I thought our fans were incredible, man. It was deafening out there. So credit to our fans, first of all. Coaches and players, I thought, did a great job. Second half adjustments were really strong. And Lamar just played out of his mind along with our defense. Everybody did. So proud of our guys. It's the first step. The next step is in front of us. We'll find out who we play after tomorrow, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, it's the Kansas City Chiefs, Coach. 3:00 Eastern time in Baltimore next Sunday. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Shifting our attention to the NFC. No, did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Let's not forget C.J. Stroud before we move to the NFC. C.J. Stroud, great rookie season, and the Texans can build.
The foundation, we said, is a hard one, built on rock, like D'Amico always talks about, but I'm gonna continue to work my tail off next year to make the city of Houston proud, make my family members proud, make God proud.
Oh, a lot of people are proud of C.J. Stroud and claiming him in Houston already. Okay, now on to the NFC, where Jared Goff has the benefit of one of the best offensive lines in all of football. Frank Ragnow was on and off the field on Sunday, but man, he toughed it out to remain out there for those final snaps.
He's fought through a whole hell of a lot that a lot of people don't even know what he's fought through physically. And to get himself here and not just him, but Taylor, obviously, Jonah, unfortunate to miss him. But I thought Yody stepped in great. Graham's played really well, and so has Panay, obviously. And so, yeah, it's been such a great group, and we've relied on them all year. And I'm certainly, telling myself how lucky I am to play behind them every week.
3 straight scoring drives in the second half for the Lions. Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield gets picked off by Derek Barnes in the final minute to seal it.
It sucks. I feel like my heart just got ripped out, but football is a complex game, but it's also simple. It comes down to taking care of the ball. And in 2-minute drives like that, when you know you're going to have 4 downs to use, just a bad mistake by me, and it sucks because I know what type of group we've had all year, that we fought to get to this point. We fought to be in that game. We weren't supposed to be here by any measures, but we believed in each other and we fought for it. And so this one's gonna weigh on me for a while.
And he is a free agent technically when this season is done. Actually, the interception was with about 1:40 to go, so let me just correct that. NFC Saturday night, Brock Purdy leading the Niners to a come-from-behind win over the Packers.
Earlier this year, we had games like Cleveland and Minnesota and Cincinnati at one point. Like, you know, you're down and you got to find a way. It's fourth quarter. It's the NFL. And then obviously we're in the postseason now, so we were all like, all right, this is it. You know, this is our season. And so for us to capitalize like that was huge for all of us. And then obviously for myself as a quarterback, like, it's good for confidence and all that. But we have too many good players, man, on this team. So many players that are difference makers, and we got a great defense. And so for us to not find a way, it's not right. So for us to finally have a game like this and pull through at the end was huge for all of us.
And that same defense came up with a game-sealing interception off Jordan Love, Dre Greenlaw's second of the game Saturday.
Hey! Play broke down, was scrambling right. Saw Christian over the middle and, you know, tried forcing one into him. Thought I could make the play. Didn't see the backside, so, you know, they made a great play.
Jordan Love's two interceptions on Saturday were more than he's had in the previous nine games combined. Remember, he had one interception in nine games, including their victory over the Dallas Cowboys in the wild card round. And so what a run by Jordan Love. He certainly established himself with the youngest team in football. Matt LaFleur proves to be a brilliant coach, even post Aaron Rodgers. So many great stories, and yet we're down to the final four. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Around New Year's, we get a little obsessed with changing ourselves and forgetting the things we're already doing right, like taking our supplements every morning or scheduling me time into our day. Therapy helps you recognize those victories and keep up the good work in the new year without changing everything. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy so you can try New Year, Same You with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone, and with BlueLink Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked, temperature set, lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus. Just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and BlueLink Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.